Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
We want to say a big welcome out to Christ Covenant Church. So glad that you're here today. And I don't do this every single week. I try to, but I want to give a shout out to everybody listening online as well. We're so glad that you're tuned in with us. And we're really excited about today because we continue our series, our new series called Love Songs. And if you're here last week, you know this, but we had some fun and we're going to have some more fun again here today. So I hope you're ready for that. And here's what we've been doing. We've been looking through an incredible book in God's Word, the Holy Bible. It's in there, I promise, called The Song of Solomon. And really excited about this week. This is part two, because today we're going to tackle a topic that honestly, it's sadly been neglected throughout the history of the church. Far too often, the subject today has been mishandled, misused, and honestly, just completely neglected. But God is not silent on the subject that we're talking about today. And so here it is. I hope you're ready. Today, we're talking about sex. That's the topic today, and I hope you're ready for it. And here's the amazing thing that we're going to find out together today. Literally, we're going to find this from God's holy Bible, the Word. We're going to find out that God wants His people to have great sex. Like, if you're feeling awkward, it's going to get way more awkward, okay? I'm just letting you know. But God wants His people in His context, and we're going to talk about that, to have incredible sex. It's what He wants for His people. And again, if you're going to be mad at somebody, be mad at God, because He picked a whole book to make sure it was included in His Word. Out of the 66, one of them is this book, and the whole topic is romance and love and, of course, sex. And that's what we're landing here today. I shared this last week just to catch you up to speed if you're brand new, but the Song of Solomon, this book in God's Word, probably a better translation of the title is Song of Songs. And literally, that's what this book is. It's a song. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings that Solomon, the author, in his lifetime, he wrote 1,005 songs. And if you talk to any songwriter, they'll tell you themselves that's a lot. That's a big number. In this book, what we're walking through verse by verse, the majority of it, this book is his Song of Songs. It's his best one. In fact, let me explain it to you this way. It's his best hit on his all-time best-selling album. That's how you could think about this book in the Bible. It's what he's known for. It's the best of the best, the top of the charts. And like many songs, this book is really a poem. And if you're not here last week or if you're new to the text, you're going to see that right away. That at first reading, it's a little difficult to understand what's going on. And hey, that's why I'm here, to study and pray and seek God throughout the week and then to come to you on Sunday mornings breaking down exactly what God is saying here. And I've given this warning last few weeks, and this will probably be my last week to give it. But I've told you many times, and I'm going to tell those that are here for the first time, give you a warning, that this book in the Bible, it is spicy. Like, spicy. And if you've read this, you know I'm telling the truth. And so this entire series, we're going to talk about some things that maybe make you uncomfortable, and honestly, they make me a little uncomfortable too. But also, specifically today, because of our topic, it is PG-13. And I made this joke three times now, and I'm going to make it again, but this is a great series, and specifically this message is a great opportunity to use our amazing children's ministry, like it really is. And here in a moment, I'm going to pray so you can walk them out quietly if you need to, so it's not awkward for anybody. But if you got teenagers, I want you to know that I think God, and I know I definitely think it would be a good idea to have them stay in the service. Because whether you believe it or not, I was a student pastor at a large church for many, many years. Whether you believe it or not, they're hearing about this topic at lunch, They're hearing about this topic in the clubhouse, the locker room, whatever activity they take. I mean, even in yearbook, I'm just telling you, it's all throughout any TV shows, movies, or music. They're hearing about it. And I think the best place to hear about this topic is in God's house from God's word. I'm just saying. So I think they should hang around because God's going to teach them something just like he's going to teach us something today. So just like last week, we're going to laugh. We're going to blush, and we're going to learn together from his holy word. So last week was part one, and we talked about the art of attraction. And if you're brand new, please, or you missed last week, please go on our website. You can find the messages there. And we talked about what makes us attractive from God's perspective to someone else. Those of us that are single, we talked about what you should be looking for in a possible significant other. We talked about God's order of things because the world's way doesn't work, but God's way works. And we looked at Solomon and his future bride. Now today, part two of this series, we get to the wedding day, y'all. Like we made it to their wedding. And Solomon and his fiance, they have dated, they've fallen in love, and now they are married. We're going to see this in chapter number four. So if you got a copy of God's word with you, or you got a Bible app with you, turn there. Song of Solomon chapter four is where we're going to be today. And if you don't have something with you and you're in the room, we'll have it on the screen behind me here in just a second. But Song of Solomon chapter 4 is where we're going to read. This is their wedding day, an exciting time. We're going to see what God has to say. Song of Solomon chapter 4, starting in verse 1. This is Solomon speaking here. This is the lover, that's Solomon. And here's what he says to his now bride. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Let's stop real quick. Just hit pause for just a second. God on purpose makes sure that we know at the beginning of chapter 4 that she is wearing a veil. Okay, that's important for us to get right here at the beginning of this chapter. It's not a coincidence. God did it on purpose. Back then in their culture, women would normally wear headdresses. That was the normal custom of the day. And so she is now wearing a veil, which lets them know, the original readers and us know here today, thousands of years later, this woman is now his bride and no longer his fiance. She is wearing a veil. Let's keep going here. I love this. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Some good stuff right there. Somebody's going to text that to their wife later today. She probably won't like it like this lady did because it was a compliment back then. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead. I love this. It gets better, y'all. Verse 2. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn. Coming up from the washing, each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. What's he saying? He's saying this. I like your smile, especially that you have all your teeth. Like, that's literally what he's saying. Guys, you're looking for a future wife? That's a good thing to look for, that she got all her teeth, okay? Baby, your smile is beautiful, and you got all those teeth. I love that. Let's keep going. Verse 3. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Solomon is laying it down thick and heavy. It's wedding time, y'all. Your temples behind your veil, there's that veil again, are like the halves of a pomegranate. Verse 4, your neck is like the Tower of David, built with courses of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Don't y'all know that's a guy, how he can describe a girl? He's got to go military, you know? Like, that's just what I think of, baby. I love that neck. It reminds me of a battle. Verse 5, your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. We'll talk about that later. Verse 8, come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon, descend from the crest of Amana, from the top of Senir, the summit of Hermon, from the lion's dens and the mountain haunts of leopards, You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume more than any spice. Another real quick timeout, and this may sound funny, but I just felt like it was necessary. I know Solomon uses that term, my sister, a couple of times there, and I just want you to know this is not his literal sister. Just want you to know that, just in case you went there and it would be a distraction. This was actually a term of endearment back then. And so you called any woman, your wife, a close friend, any woman that you had a really, that you greatly cared for, that you had a good relationship, you would call them your sister. In fact, we did this in the church world. I don't know if you remember that, if you've been around church for a little while. Years and years ago, everybody was Brother John and Sister Betty. It's what we did back then. So that's what he's talking about here. He cares for her. Verse 11, your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. We'll talk about this verse at the end, verse 12. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, with henna and nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with every kind of incense tree, with myrrh and aloes and all the finest spices. You are a garden fountain, a well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. The last verse, verse 16, Solomon's done all the speaking so far, and now it's her turn, his wife. Awake, north wind, and come, south wind. Blow on my garden, that its fragrance may spread everywhere. Let my beloved come into his garden and taste its choice fruits. That's chapter 4. Now, some of y'all are shocked that's in the Bible. It's in there. You can check on your copy if you want to, if you don't believe me. Like, that's in the Bible. I say this all the time, but it bears repeating. The Bible's not boring. Like, it's not. You're boring. The Bible's not boring. You just read a verse like a year ago and you just assumed, right? But no. There's some good stuff in there. And so we're going to have some fun today. And God's really going to do something. And so I want to keep the shock going. And so I'm going to give you my title. And honestly, usually I have to spend a lot of time thinking about a title because I try to get creative with it, something that's memorable. Today was easy. And it may offend you, but just get used to it because we're talking about sex today. But here's the title of the message. I couldn't think of anything more appropriate. Here it is. Get ready to write this down. Great Sex. That's my title. Some of you thought I would never write that down in church and it'd be appropriate. It's appropriate today. You know, I see some guys out here. You're taking notes for the first time in a long time. Called you out. You're like, babe, thank you for bringing me to church today. That was a good idea. You normally drag me, but today's my day. It's been a good day. Going to be a good day. I honestly couldn't think of anything better. This is what is happening in chapter 4. Look at any scholarly account, any biblical background, like that's credible. This is what's going down. It is wedding night, and it's a good night for Solomon and his bride. We're going to have some fun today. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that a subject like this, the subject of sex, you are not silent on. In fact, out of 66 books, you made sure this was one of the books in there for us to read. And honestly, God, you know us so well. You know everything, and there's a reason behind it. You didn't do anything by accident. It's all been on purpose because you knew that this subject would be abused and misused and mishandled. You knew that the world would come in, the devil himself, and he would manipulate it and turn it into something that it's not supposed to be. And so we just pray today as we laugh and as we learn and maybe as there's some emotions, we pray, God, that you would speak to us so clearly that instead of condemnation, there would be hope. That God, your way is the best way. And so I pray for healing to flow today. I pray for truth to reign over the lies of the enemy. And God, I pray that you'd set us free from maybe our sin of our past or maybe even some misconceptions we've had with this topic. God, set us free and may truth reign. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're taking notes, it'd be a good idea to write down the points today. And so I hope you'll write this down. Here's the first point from the Bible, not my opinion, the Bible. Number one, great sex is affirming. This is where we start. Great sex is affirming. This isn't just for the married people. This is for people that are preparing for marriage. Great sex is affirming. I'm not going to reread them just because of time, but we see in verses 1 through 5 that Solomon, he starts their wedding night, their honeymoon, with words and not with actions. In fact, I just shared this with you, that he spends 15 verses leading the conversation. And how many of you know, fellas, let me talk to you for a second. We like to rush in with action. We're like, it's wedding night. I mean, it's going down. And we rush in that way. But Solomon says, hey, hold on just a second. We're going to instead talk about this. We're going to, before we go physical, we're going to connect emotionally. He doesn't rush in. Now, women understand this. Like they get this, that, hey, we want to connect and we want to talk. But us guys, we struggle with this. In fact, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question, so don't answer out loud. But you could talk to any married man, and you could ask him honestly, like, when are you ready to have sex? You could ask him that question. And here's going to be his answer every single time. Now. Like, now. Y'all think I'm joking. Y'all look at me weird. That's just how God is. Like, now. Like, yeah, now. Now is the time. That's what married men would say. But Solomon, he teaches us something here. So married men, listen up. He teaches us something, that we're not to just rush in, but we're first to communicate and talk and connect. Here's the great thing about Solomon. He affirms his new bride. Like, he affirms her. I'm going to help you today. If you look back at verses 1 through 5, here's the different things that he says to his bride, affirming her before they get physical. He calls her beautiful. He talks about her eyes, her hair, her teeth, her lips, her mouth, her temples, her neck, and her breasts. What does this show us? I'd write this down. Great sex starts before the bedroom. Now, y'all can amen me today. I know the topic. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. This is the Bible here. Okay, it's going to be all right. But great sex starts way before the bedroom. You can see him work his way down her body, talking about how beautiful she is, making sure that he points this out. Great sex starts before the bedroom. So guys, again, I hope you're taking notes here. I know you think it's your body that leads the way to sex, but it's really your words. Just letting you know today. So what's some practical advice? We're going to get real practical today. What's some practical advice? Married men, please listen to me. You need to send your wife text messages affirming her. Like, get crazy with it. Throw some emojis in there, you know, just like add them in. No, you don't normally do it, but add them in. Like, you need to leave a love card for your bride. And it just so happens that Valentine's Day is this Thursday. So I know they're more expensive, but there's a lot of them, okay? Like, you need to start doing these things where you're affirming her. You're speaking positively over her life. Get her flowers. Do the dishes even when it's not your turn. Ladies, I'm trying to help you out today, okay? Like, do something to show her how much you care. Don't just rush in for the physical. You've got to affirm her. Another practical thing that we can't miss from God's word here is Solomon is specific in his affirmation. Like, specific. Well, Pastor, I told her I loved her before we got married. Tell her again and tell her why you love her. Tell her why she's special. Solomon is specific. He works his way down. So fellas, again, let me just give you some practical advice, okay? Like, notice when she gets a haircut. Like notice when she gets a new outfit. Like, you probably helped pay for that outfit, right? Like, just notice. Notice it. Like, notice when she gets her nails done. I know it's difficult, but try. Be specific in affirming her and who she is. Ladies, you're not off the hook. You need to notice when he does something big at work. Like, that's how we're wired. When he does an incredible job on a presentation or he gets a raise at his performance review, like make sure that you encourage him, that you affirm him, that you point it out. Great sex is affirming. Here's the second point from God's word. Number two, great sex is secure. It's secure. We see in verse 7 what we read earlier. Solomon, speaking to his now wife, says, "You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you." And here's what he's saying. If you look at the original Hebrew language, what this was originally written in back in biblical times, when you look at how that, or what that word "no flaw," that phrase means, here's what it means. Solomon is telling her that not only does she have no physical imperfections, she also has no moral imperfections. He's talking about both. You see that in the original language. He's letting her know that there is nothing she possesses inwardly or outwardly that takes away from her beauty. That's security. He's bringing her security. And church, you got to hear me. This is really, 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 really important. We must always respect and honor our spouse. Like always, not just in front of her, but to our best friends when she's not there. Like, we must always respect and honor her. It brings security. In fact, we're going to get real practical again. I'm not so concerned about the past. I'm talking about from this day forward in this message, by the way. And so from this day forward, let's all make commitments, if we're married, to never say a negative thing about our spouse. Like, never. Well, you don't know what she did, Pastor. Yeah, I probably don't know, but even though you know, you don't have to tell everybody else about it, and you don't have to necessarily make her feel bad about it. Y'all can work it out, and we can step into that and help you, but let's make a commitment to never go negative. In fact, in every premarital counseling that I do with couples, done it many times, I always make sure I highlight this, like before they get married. You know, so often we get counseling like when things are bad, but it's good to get counseling while things are still good. Just saying. And so I always say this. Like, even though they're going to, like, mess up with something that, like, you normally do this routine and they do it differently, and even though it's going to frustrate you, and ladies, even though he's going to leave the toilet seat lit up, I mean, even though all that's going to happen, like, don't tear him down. Don't tear her down. Make a commitment to never go negative. That brings security. Never say anything negative about their personality. Never say anything negative about their body. Never, do not go there. When you're having sex, you are vulnerable. And for sex to be great and God-honoring, there must be security and trust. I'm helping you today. Number three, the third point, great sex is passionate. It's passionate. I love verse 9. I mean, Solomon really put this together well. Here's what he says again. "You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace." And you can see here, it's so clear. You can see here and all throughout chapter 4, there is a passion, like there's passion on both sides. Like there's some great heat, there's some great passion between them. It's exciting. And for those of us that are married, let me speak some more truth over your life. And I sincerely mean this, and I really feel like I'm speaking on behalf of God here. But your passion should not apex at your honeymoon. So I want you to know that today. Your passion should only increase throughout your marriage. I'm preaching way better than y'all responding today. I know the topic. Help me out. Help me out today. But like so many people, even people before I got married, well, that's as good as it's gonna get. No, that's a lie. Like that is a lie. That is not what God has set up for you. That after the honeymoon, it's all downhill from there. Who wants to sign up for that? Not me. And God doesn't want that for you either. And so when you meet a couple and they have a healthy marriage, they'll tell you this, and it's truth, that I love them more than I did the day I met them. And that is truth, because God supernaturally does that. The truth is, they probably don't look any better, right? The truth is, there's probably been some things that have been exposed that they're having to work through, but their love is so much deeper than that. There's a passion there that's not just physical. It's important that we get this. We see this in their lives. It grew through throughout, beginning here in chapter 4. So husbands, let me talk to you again for a second. You need to show your passion again to your wife. The same way that you won her heart, and the same way that you pursued her and you were willing to do some stuff that made you look foolish to prove your love, the same way that you left notes and you sent text messages and you showed up with flowers, even though there was no holiday attached to it, you need to pursue her again. Show her your passion again. And if you're like, Pastor, it's hard to do, ask God to help you and he'll help you. But you got to stir that up again. I mean, do whatever you got to do, husbands. Light candles. Turn on some Lionel Richie, y'all. Whatever you got to do. I'm just saying, like, you got to get creative with it. For those of us that got kids, you know, you go have a nice dinner and then you give those kids NyQuil. You know what I'm saying? I'm joking. I'm going to have the police call me later. So-and-so said, I'm just joke. Kind of joke. Ladies, let me talk to you. I'm trying to get practical and have some fun, but be serious at the same time. Ladies, let me talk to you. Wives, like when it comes to passion, like you need to pursue him. You need to approach him. I'm just saying, like you got to approach him. Like sometimes, anytime, one time, guys, like I'm trying to help you out too. Like approach. Like just a half step, we'll take it. Like just something. Like approach. Husbands, tell your wife today, I heard a word from the Lord today. You are to approach. I'm going to get more high fives after the service today than I ever got in my life. Got to have that passion. Now, I want to tell you, man, this was full permission from my wife. And I say that because I don't always ask permission, okay? But I asked today. But I got to tell you, there is nothing sexier to me than when my wife approaches me. Like nothing. And guys will attest to this. Like every once in a while, she'll send me a note. Or she'll send me a card, or she'll send me a text, and she'll let me know tonight's the night. Like tonight. And I'm just telling you, that is the best text or card or whatever it was I've ever got in my life. Like, best ever. And I gotta tell you, this is the truth, that when she does that, I mean, the whole day I'm walking around in victory. I'm just letting you know. I mean, my meetings are better that day. I probably got home a little earlier that day. I'm like, I'm the man. My wife came on to me. I mean, those 6 push-ups I did last week, she saw them, baby. I'm like, yeah. And it's awesome because y'all know when you send a text or you leave a note or you give a card, like she wrote that down. It's in writing, which according to me, that's like a contract that she signed saying tonight's the night. Like, hey, babe, do you remember? I got a contract right here. Like approach. I'm just telling you that we need to re-spark passion again, especially those of us that have been married for years, maybe married for decades. Like God wants your passion and your relationship to continue to flourish, to continue to grow. Get creative with it. And this sounds funny, but this is true. Sex is not just for procreation. Like God made it fun on purpose. Just letting you know. Like, it's not just for having babies. God wants you to have fun while you make babies. I'm just saying. Like it's the truth. God made us as sexual beings, of course, in his context. But we've got to reignite that passion again. Here's the last point, and in my opinion, the most important. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one. But great sex is holy. It's holy. We're going to break this down. We're going to bring some truth and some hope. Verse 12 says this. This is Solomon speaking to his now bride. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. I want you to remember, this is their wedding night. And so because of that, what they're doing is good and it honors the Lord. And as you read verse 12 and even more than that, verse 16, if you're here last week, you'll remember this. But this is on purpose, harking back to chapter 2, verse 7. And in chapter 2, verse 7, Solomon and his wife, they are not yet married, so it's his fiancée or his girlfriend, you could say. And in chapter 2, verse 7, what we talked about last week is they say a line that we will not arouse or awaken love until the right time. And we see here specifically, not in verse 12, but verse 16, when she speaks, she on purpose harkens back to what they said earlier. That, hey, that wasn't the right time because we were not married. But now that we are married, this is the right time. It's what they're saying here. And verse 12 holds some really powerful symbolism that I want to break down here today. You see, back in biblical times, if you had a garden, if you had a spring, if you had a fountain, they were amazingly valuable. Of course, you probably know this, but the climate, the weather is way different than we have here in Houston. And not just that, but you may not know this, a lot of the Bible took place around the Middle East. So if you had a garden, if you had a spring, if you had a fountain, you protected it. Like, you need to know this context today. This is what the Bible's talking about. You protected it. You held it close. You put fences around it. Nobody could get into it unless you allowed them to. And to me, it's crystal clear that this is symbolic of our purity and our holiness. Let's make it personal. Your purity, your holiness is valuable to God, and it should be valuable to you. Solomon, he's looking at his bride on their wedding night. And here's literally what he's saying. You are a virgin. Thank you for waiting for me. That's what he's saying. Thank you for saving yourself for the marriage bed. I know it hasn't been easy. I'm sure there's been temptation even with us. But you waited. It's so valuable. And friend, you got to hear me today. This is what God wants for you. It's plan A. Young people, listen to me. People who are not yet married, listen to me. This is what God wants for you. To be pure, to be holy, to guard and protect. In fact, we pray this over our kids. They're just 5 and 1. And we use this phrase, that they would hold out for honor. We pray it over them probably every day since they've both been born. Prayed over our son Luke, our daughter Nora, that they would hold out for honor, to not allow any man or any woman have access to what only their future wife or their future husband should have access to. And as I share this today, I get it. Some of you are maybe thinking, well, that's great, Pastor, but that's kind of old-fashioned. Maybe you're thinking that today. I get that it's completely countercultural. That if you look at our TV shows, our movies, our music, the only parameters for our culture is, you know what, as long as both are consenting, that's okay. That's what our culture says. And so I know that it's different than what I'm talking about. In fact, you'd probably agree with me on this, but sex outside of marriage is glamorized in our culture. But that's a lie. And here's truth today. And I'm not ashamed to tell you truth. I love you too much to keep it to myself. Here's what culture doesn't show you. Culture usually doesn't show you the heartbreak and heartache that come from it. Culture usually doesn't talk about the STDs that come from it. Did you know there's STDs that are asymptomatic, which means you can't see that they're there, but they're there? Doesn't usually talk about the unwanted pregnancies. Doesn't talk about the self-esteem issues and the lack of identity, the depression, and sometimes the thoughts of suicide. Our culture doesn't talk about that because that's not glamorous, but I got to tell you today, that's usually the result too. And so God doesn't want to keep something from you. He wants something for you. Did y'all hear that today? He doesn't want to keep something from you. He wants something for you. He wants you to have great sex, but he wants it to be a blessing to you and a blessing to your spouse. And what I just shared, what culture doesn't talk about, that's not a blessing for anybody. Nobody would sign up for that. Please hear me. I love you. I got to tell you the truth. God's ways are not outdated. Culture changes all the time. Ask anybody that's been alive more than 50 years. They'll tell you culture changes, but God never changes. God's way really is the best way. So when you get married, for those of us that are, those of us that are about to be, when you get married, it's not just entering into a contract. I know you sign the marriage license. I've signed many of them since I've officiated so many weddings. And I understand there's a legal side of it. I'm not saying that's wrong or bad. That's not the point. But when you enter into a marriage, it's not really about a contract. It's about a covenant. If you're familiar with church, you know there's a big difference there. A contract can be ripped up. Y'all know a contract can be null and void when a divorce is filed and accepted. But a covenant lasts forever. Forever. Through good times and bad times. And you see, and this is just a reference. Don't turn there. But you see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, that when you get married, a covenant with your spouse before God, when you get married, the two become one. Now, I want you to know that's spiritual, but it's also physical, consummated on your wedding night. The two becoming one. Rhetorical question, don't answer out loud, but what do you think happens when one tries to split again to two? There's hurt, there's pain, there's regret, there's scarring. It was never meant to be a separation. In fact, I say that at the end of every wedding. Therefore, what God has put together, let no man separate. The two becoming one. That's a covenant. It's almost like you taking duct tape. We used to do this in student ministry years ago. You put it on somebody's arm like mine and then ripping off that duct tape. It's not just going to be that duct tape any longer. There's going to be pieces of me all over that duct tape. I'm telling you, when we try to separate, it's not God's best. Ask anyone who's been through it. Now, all that's true what I'm saying, but here's what I know is going on right now. For those in this room and those listening online, I just know it. There's people listening, maybe you're one of them, that you're thinking, that's great, Pastor, but I've already bypassed God's way. Like, that's great. I wish I could go back, but I can't. You've bypassed God's best design for you. And if that's you today, please hear me. Because I know there's guilt. I know there's regret. I know there's shame. You've given away yourself before you're supposed to. Or maybe you're even in a relationship right now and you're giving yourself away. Or not just that, but I know there's a huge group of people in our world that you didn't give yourself away, but somebody took advantage of you. So you were robbed. Somebody abused you. I know we have so many emotions going on right now. And if that's you, please hear me. Please listen to this. It's a word from God. God can make all things new. God can make all things new. You see, my messages and God's word, they're not about the past. We look quickly to the past, but we also look forward quickly to the future. And so when we talk about something like this, your mindset should be from this day forward. From this day forward. Pastor, I've messed up a lot, but from this day forward, I'm gonna do things God's way. And God can make all things new. God is the one that makes you holy, not you. I'm gonna say that again, that's for somebody. God is the one that makes you holy, not you. It's just the truth. I don't know what you've done or where you are today, but with Jesus, all things are made new. And today, for some of you, this needs to be your day that you surrender your life to Christ. And for many, maybe it's like a fresh commitment. Hey, I've been messing up. I've been trying my way, but I realize the world's way doesn't work and I want to do things right God's way. I know now that God doesn't want something from me. He wants something for me. And as you surrender your life to Christ and you give your life to Him, He gives you a brand new start. And that includes your sexual purity. I'll say this and then we'll pray. God is big enough to forgive you of every sin, of every mistake. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your hope. This isn't a message of condemnation or guilt. In fact, the devil's the only one about condemnation. Holy Spirit, you bring conviction. Big difference. you gently and lovingly show us that there's some things in our life that have stirred us in the wrong direction. And you lovingly and gently come in and you say, you know what? Let's get these things right. Let's move back to Jesus, back to Jesus. That's conviction. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I pray right now for every single person in this room and every single person listening online. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us individually. Not even as a couple and not even as a family, but individually, whatever word you need to seal upon our hearts. Maybe it's something we didn't even cover today, but Holy Spirit, you want to speak. You have free reign. Speak to hearts, speak to minds right now. And I just pray for my married friends first. I pray for those of us that, whether we've been married for a week or whether we've been married for 50 plus years, I just pray, Lord, that your holy word, what you teach us from Song of Solomon chapter 4, that we would apply it to our lives. That we'd realize, God, that you want us to have an incredible sex life. You do, but it's got to honor you. May we begin from this day forward to affirm. May we begin from this day forward to bring security and trust. May we, again, from this day forward, reignite passion for one another. It's a lie of an enemy to say it's as good as it's ever going to get. God, you want it to grow. You want it to grow. And I pray from this day forward, God, we would realize that when we honor you, when we put our eyes to you, you're the one that helps us become holy. May you do that for my married friends today. And I pray, God, right now, with no one looking but me, please, eyes closed, heads bowed. I pray for anybody underneath the sound of my voice, married or unmarried, single or single again. I pray for anybody listening, God, that they realize right now that they are far from you. Their sin, their mistakes, has put up a separation. And God, you're not looking down on them angrily right now. You're looking down on them with love. And I pray today they would feel and know your love. That Jesus, when you died on the cross, they were on your mind. All the pain, all the beating, the nails in your wrists and feet, the crown of thorns, it all, God, you did for them. You are holy. And as we surrender our life to you for the first time, or maybe we need to do it again, fresh and new, as we do that, Lord, you are faithful to apply your love and apply your grace and your mercy upon our life. It's almost like a whiteboard that's got all this black ink all over it, and you come in and you make it brand new. You wipe it all away like it was never even there. And friend, if that's you today, eyes closed, heads bowed, but you need a fresh start in Jesus. Or maybe you need to surrender your life to him for the first time. I don't know, but whatever that is, you're far from God. I want to give you a chance to surrender to him. Not going to embarrass you, not going to make you stand up, usher you off somewhere else, but right where you're seated, it'd be the honor of my life. It's why I moved my family to Houston, to help lead you in a prayer. A prayer of commitment, a prayer of surrender, applying the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus to your life, making you brand new. No one's going to be looking but me, but eyes closed, heads bowed. If that's you, you need a fresh start with Jesus, surrendering your life to him. Can you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Don't miss your moment. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Those listening online, you can respond. God, you're so good. God's moving. God's moving. Those that raised their hand a moment ago, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Still no one looking, honoring this moment. Here's the great thing about this church is that you're not going to say the prayer alone. There's going to be people all around you that are going to say this out loud with you. It's a prayer of commitment, a prayer of surrender to Jesus. You are not alone as you begin again or as you begin for the first time with the Lord. So those that raise their hand and all the Christ followers as support, say this with me out loud, repeating after me. Say this, dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Jesus, I believe. Come on, make it personal today. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and I ask you now to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. Jesus, I surrender. I take my life and I put it in your hands. Jesus, clean me up. Give me a brand new start. Help me to begin again, to serve you, to live for you, and to love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.